Welcome to Red, White, and Brown, the podcast that discusses the interesting upbringing of Desi American immigrants and what happens when Eastern culture meets the Western world. I'm Prirak.
And I'm Sophia, and we're both first-generation Desi Americans. Today, we're going to be talking about the Desi stereotype of being stingy. We'll talk about where this stereotype comes from, funny memes as usual, our own experiences, and some hypothetical questions from the audience. Prirak, let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
Let's start by defining stinginess and its relation to the Desi stereotype.
So, first of all, the official definition of stinginess is actually unwilling to give or spend, ungenerous. But the question that Sophia, you just asked me, was the relationship it has to the Indian stereotype. And the Indian stereotype is basically the fact that stinginess in Indians is more seen as being really frugal, really thrifty with money. And at least in my perspective, not spending money until you know you're getting the best deal, such that you aren't losing money and are getting a good bang for your buck. I don't know if you have this, but a lot of family that I have definitely has a decent amount of stinginess. So I wouldn't say it's an untrue stereotype, but today we're going to dissect what exactly is the underpinning of this stereotype and what exactly that stinginess means and where it comes from. What about you? What did you think about stinginess?
Yeah, definitely. I think I would agree with you for the most part. I mean, my family's Pakistani, but I think it's pretty much the same thing. And I think generally, like, there's this scarcity mindset that sort of I think of when I think of this stereotype, and the idea that you really have to conserve money because you don't feel like 100% confident that there's going to be an abundance of resources in the future.
That's true. And I think part of that is, of course, related to the immigrant
exactly,
mentality.
Yeah.
But we both found some interesting memes related to this.
We did, yeah. So let's describe the first one, yeah. Which will be in the audience show notes as well. We'll link to it.
Of course. So this is actually from the Friends episode. I don't know if anyone watches Friends. Actually, who doesn't watch Friends? But it's basically a scene where Lisa Kudrow, Phoebe, is talking to a guy in a shop and is asking, how much is this? And then the guy says, $8,600. And then Phoebe, shortly after that, is like, we will give you $10. I think that pretty much sums up
Desi bargaining.
Yeah,
in a nutshell,
yep. Which is really, really funny. And that's a big deal, because sometimes the price ends up being high and Desi people almost never end up paying the price that is listed.
Oh my God, never. We were just talking about this before recording, but I bought this outfit, this like sort of somewhat fancy outfit. And I remember the price was like, it was pretty high. I'm not going to say how much it was, but I ended up paying like a third of the price, and that was totally normal. Like, I didn't go in expecting to pay the full sticker price, and the shopkeeper did not expect me to pay that price either.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of know that you're going to do this little dance of bargaining.
Exactly. And for full disclosure, when we say Desis usually know they won't spend the amount that is listed, that's usually in the context of, like, Desi the Desi transactions.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Obviously, we wouldn't do that at, like, Target.
Oh, my gosh, no. Yeah. I was talking about a fancy Desi outfit, which was purchased from,
a Desi store.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where bargaining is normal.
Exactly. So. And even in Desi countries, bargaining is, like, the name of the game. So, I guess, to kind of regroup, where is this coming from? Where is this stereotype coming from? Is it an immigrant thing that we kind of alluded to? Do all people have it? That's what we're going to talk about now.
Okay, so let me start for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this stereotype is one that both non-Desis and Desis are aware of, and I think both groups kind of make fun of this stereotype a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like there's a lot of South Asian comedians who definitely poke fun at, you know, their own racial group for their money-saving habits and, like, all the funny, cheap things that we do.
I agree. Yep, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Vyas does that, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like those of us who were born here or who grew up here, like you and I, definitely make fun of, like, our older generations for those things.
I make fun of my dad all the time for this.
Yeah. And then I think back home, like in the subcontinent, I think different ethnic groups sort of stereotype one another with this. Like, oh, Gujaratis are cheap, Sindhis are cheap, whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that too. Yeah. So, I mean, there's clearly some truth to this stereotype, I think, because it's stuck around and it's something that both we and people who aren't Desi are aware of.
Mm-hmm.
For my reasoning, I think part of it is an immigrant thing. Like, I think the fact that the Desis are labeled as stingy here is partly because, you know, most of the Desis that came here came, you know, to a new country. They had, you know, you always hear that story of like $70 in their pocket with like nothing left and they had to make it.
Yeah.
So to them, like every dollar was very, very valuable. You can't just waste a dollar on one thing that somewhere else could have gotten you more, you know, substance.
Right.
Right. And so I think part of that mentality, part of the stingy mentality that we're labeling comes from that immigrant experience. But I think the part that's specific to Desis is the fact that this stinginess that we're calling is actually part of the economy in India and in Pakistan. Because there is this inbuilt need to bargain and to get the best bang for your buck. And there, it's not even labeled as stinginess. It's just part of the economy. Like, yeah. I don't know. I went back 2 summers ago and we never paid the same price that was listed for a dress or even for like a pani puri on the side of the street, because more often than not, they don't even have set prices. They kind of are like, you know, what do you have? Here's how much I have. You kind of come up with a mutual
agreement. And if you're a tourist and you look like you have more money, then of course, like the price is higher.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there's a culture of haggling in these subcontinents. And so from the buyer and seller's perspective, they're aware of that. And so that's not stingy there. That's just the name of the game. But now we come here and those people that were so used to haggling, those people who were so used to being like, oh, is this really the best use of my money? Mm-hmm. Are suddenly in a system where the sellers have set prices and you need to pay what it says you need to pay and you can't haggle. And so at that point, the only thing they have left is actually to figure out like, Am I getting the best deal?
Yeah.
Exactly. So if I'm going to pay $5 for Cheetos at Walgreens and suddenly Target is selling those Cheetos for $3, I'm going to get it from, you know, the second store because it's cheaper.
Right.
And so it's just their way of kind of still going through that haggling mentality.
In their own mind,
which
sort
is,
of.
Yeah, they brought up with that. That's a part of who they are. And that's at least the way I see it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is that, like, in the context back home, that was just normal. That wasn't stingy. And that's why that stereotype might not exist as much back in the subcontinent.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, like everyone doesn't think they're stingy back in the subcontinent.
Exactly.
That's just normal. And then here now in this new context, it's
yeah, you're placed in a place where like the sellers are not aware that you are looking for, you know,
the
a good deal.
Price, yeah.
And the buyer is in this mindset of like, I want the best deal. So the way the buyer exerts control is by actually being like, am I getting the best deal? Let me examine all my options.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. And the one thing I will say though is that when non-Desis sort of stereotype us this way, it's generally like this blanket generalization, and it's obviously kind of a negative thing.
Oh, absolutely.
But then I feel like when Desis do it, like when we kind of do it to ourselves or like poke fun at this, it's like definitely more lighthearted, you're just joking, but also like we know how generous Desis can be as well.
Yeah, but I think between Desis it's like understood. Like today my friend and I had lunch and he's a brown guy too.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like, we're going somewhere cheap. And it was like obvious that we stated that up front and I was like, thank God you said that. Because I totally
relate. That's just like a student budget problem.
Exactly.
But no, I think there's also like the stereotype or the meme or I don't know, the common situation where, like, you'll go out to a restaurant and then we'll, like, fight over the bill because we all want to pay it. You know, like, that's also a very Desi thing. And that's also, I think that just shows, like, the other side of the coin that we can also be very, very generous.
Absolutely.
In a way that I think a lot of
non-Desis
or, like,
may not know.
Yeah, or, like, non-immigrants even. You know, I've never heard of, like, non-immigrants acting that way.
Yeah.
Like, crazily fighting over the bill because, like, you know, they
want... That's definitely a Desi thing for sure.
Yeah.
There's a nice meme that we found for this, too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's find it.
So this meme was also on Subtle Curry Traits, and it was kind of talking about Indian uncles at the classic dinner party. And underneath that like caption, there's a picture of like this madman who has
like frantically running
to the door. He's like frantically running and he has like $500 in his hand and he's just going and he's trying to get out of there. And the caption is like, let me pay. It's because he's like trying to be the first one because
there's always
the competition.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who gets the bill first can pay the bill.
Is the one who can pay it. Yeah.
So I think you make a good point. I think the point that you make is like,
I think we recognize the other side of it. We know we're not just stingy. There's, like, so much more.
And even, like, what people are labeling as stingy isn't really stingy back home, you know?
Right,
back in India and Pakistan.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think this says about Desi culture?
I think this says two things, right? One is this risk-averse mentality, because most Desis tend to be immigrants, at least our parents, right? And so for them, a dollar was a lot. And for that reason, they're very risk-averse in terms of how they spend it, and they want to get the biggest bang for their buck. The second thing that it says is that it's a reflection of the economies that these people came from, right? We just talked a bit about how you can buy things on the streets. You don't necessarily pay what the street price is. You may end up paying less. You may end up paying more if you get with someone who might
Someone who's a really good bargainer.
Exactly.
They make you pay more.
Exactly. So I think it says those two things. One, that we're immigrants and there's the risk-averse mentality. And two, that it's a reflection of the economies they're coming from.
Yeah. So how do you think it compares to Western culture?
So I think Western culture is different. Western, I think, I'm assuming you're referring to America, right?
Yeah.
So one, Western culture is a bit more rigid on the rules, right? There's a distinct buyer-seller economy where the rules are entirely different. One, haggling is not permitted at all, right? Mm-hmm. And there's things like tipping here in America that would not exist in Desi culture.
That's true.
So because you're working in an entirely different mindset with new rules, you're in an entirely different ballgame. Western culture is also more organized because every business is held accountable for a lot more, right? You have to fill out paperwork, you have taxes, you have to make sure you're reporting your income, your revenue, your profits, right. All of that. The Panipuri guy in India is not doing any of that.
Yeah, right?
He's just trying to make a living and make it to the next day, right? And yeah. So in that regard, he's okay with haggling. But in Western culture, if I say I want $5.99 for this and you pay me $4.99, then my documentation's not going to add up and there's no way anything matches.
Right.
And now suddenly you're in beef with the federal government because
yeah.
the rules are just more stringent.
Yeah.
Right?
No, to the point where India has like people who have their white money, which is documented, and then they have black money, quote unquote, which is just like money that is in cash and like they can't really deposit it into a bank because it's like, where did this money come from?
And yeah. And I think you actually brought up a really good point, which is everything here, at least majority of it, seems to be transactional through credit cards. How many people use cash here? In India, a lot of stuff is done purely through cash, mm-hmm. so it's much harder to track, and so that creates this entirely different dynamic
yeah.
here in the States as opposed to India.
Yeah.
So I think that's always one of the biggest – those two things are the differences.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think the next thing we should talk about, Sophia, and you haven't talked yet, so why don't we talk about – our experiences growing up in a Desi household, obviously, but with regards to the stinginess and how that changed your growing up experience from probably your friends.
Yeah, definitely. So I think on one hand, my parents are like so generous, and that's something I really value, I think, because they were that way. And to me, like stinginess, it really does rub me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at the same time, I also definitely learned not to waste things, like food, money, whatever it is. And I think that was very different from my non-immigrant friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my house, we did not really waste food. You know, even if there was, like, food that was older, food that was fresher, like, my parents would eat the stuff that was older and, like, feed my
of
brother
course.
And I the fresher
yeah.
food. Because throwing away food was just, like, not a thing that we did.
Yeah.
And, like, even other things that I've picked up from my mom and my grandma, just, like, if I get a gift, I'll, like, save the gift bag and reuse it. Or
we do that, too.
Yeah, yeah. Or just, like, if I buy something and it comes in a really nice box.
You'll save the box.
I'll, like, use the box to store other stuff. Like, I won't just throw it away. And
I have a question. Do you have that, like, do you have, like, a basket of just, like, old containers of, like, random things that you save? My mom saves,
oh
like,
gosh.
All the containers just because we can reuse them again.
Yeah, I keep too much stuff. I need to declutter. But I used to think that, like, everybody did these things, but, like, they don't.
Yeah.
Everyone doesn't do this. People
no.
just throw away the boxes and bags that things come in.
Exactly.
So
I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, small things like that where, I don't know, I just don't like to get rid of things. I don't like to waste things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, I also have a really deep appreciation for things. Like, anytime I go to a really nice restaurant or even if I just, like, am putting on a nice jacket that I've worn, like, 20 times before, I'm always like, wow, like, how amazing that I get to have this.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. Like, I'm glad I came away with it, you know,
and that's
with
one
those
of the things.
Things
that makes you different, I think, for sure, right? From people who may not have this, they see...
Yeah.
Upbringing.
Yeah. I mean, and it can also be frustrating, right? When you're young and, like, you want to buy things, but you don't have your own money and, like, your parents are like, that's literally a waste of money. Why do you want this, like, dumb thing?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's pros and cons.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
So for me, I think growing up with this mentality, at least from my parents, I now think twice about when I really need something. Just mm-hmm. like over 25 years, it's kind of become instilled in me where the moment I want something, I have to think twice about, like, do I really need this?
Yeah.
And if I really do need it, is this the best place to get it? Is this the best way to get it? Is this, like, the best means of getting it? You know what I mean? Like, if I want a new laptop, which laptop do you want? Do you want it refurbished? Do you want a brand new one? Like, there's all these small nuances that I consider that I find myself being like, wow, this is totally because my dad would always make me question, like, do you really need this right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do need it right now, why? And, like, how can we make the best use of this decision? For a long time, I didn't understand the meaning of brands. This was actually something that I grew up with as well, right? Here, branding is such a big deal. Like, a shoe pair from Nike is going to be $80, but a shoe pair from, like, you know, a non-name brand is going to be, like, $10. And so growing
up... Okay, I've never seen like a $10 pair of shoes.
I don't know.
It'll be like $25.
All right, $25. But like, at least when I was growing up, for me, it was always, my dad would just be like, you need shoes. Let's just get shoes. So I kind of got brought up in an environment where I was like, oh, why would I get $75 shoes when I can get $25 shoes?
Yeah.
But as I've grown, you know, at least in the last 6 years, I've started seeing, like, you know, brands have a meaning. Brands have a certain level of quality, certain level of aesthetic that may be associated with them. And so I'm kind of coming around to that, but I'd say that's one of the other things that this Stacy mentality has kind of ingrained in me, which is, oh, like, what's the meaning of a brand? We're trying to optimize price here, not necessarily, like,
style
comfort.
Or something. Yeah. I feel like part of that is also just because you're male, and I feel like so much of that is, like, geared towards women.
Absolutely. I agree with that. But even, and I think my sister does the same thing where, you know, growing up, she would be really into certain brands. And
she would be?
Well, yeah, she would be, yeah. And my dad would be like, but you just want a dress. Let's get this dress. She'd be like, no, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. And so that's one of the differences.
Yeah. I feel like women feel that pressure from, like, the brand perspective a little bit more. But.
Well, this is perfect because that leads us into our questions. So we're going to start the questions and hypotheticals section of the podcast where we literally just ask questions that we've been asked by our
audiences. Our audience. Yep.
So the first question, and Sophia, I feel like you'll answer this well. So what if my parents' stinginess is affecting my way of life? And so I think this hints back at what we just discussed, which, you know, you're brought up in a household where my dad was like, hey, you need a dress, buy this $10 dress. And my sister was like, no, I don't want a $10 dress. I want this $25 dress that's made by this particular shop.
Yeah.
So what if that's you, and how do you go about that?
So I guess, like, it's tough because I think if someone is asking this, that I kind of assume that they're a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think once you're, like, in college or university, it's pretty common to, like, have a student job or, you know, even something that's not too taxing, just, like, at the library or being a tutor or something, like, some internship or whatever it is.
Yeah, you have money.
Yeah. So I think if someone's asking this, I'm assuming they're, like, maybe in high school or middle school or something.
Yeah,
and
they
so
are.
At that point, obviously, like, you could still try to get some sort of job, but it's unlikely that your parents will let you.
Yeah, you have to study.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think on one hand, like, you have to understand your parents' financial situation, right? Like, you have to have some empathy. Like, no one likes telling their kids, like, no, like, I can't buy that for you, you know? I think that's got to be difficult for a parent as well.
Absolutely.
To feel like they're not giving their kids what they want. So I think you do have to have some sort of empathy for your parents. And I think a very practical solution, at least, that I would recommend is, like, consignment shops and online resale. Like, Poshmark is a great website. You can get, like, such nice unworn stuff for so much cheaper, and it's actually very conducive to, like, South Asians because there's, like, a bargaining feature on there.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Yeah, so you can, like, bargain with the person who's selling
it. So are these just sites that sell people who've bought from
people? It's like I have sold stuff on there too. Like, sometimes I've like bought stuff and then I haven't worn it. It, like, still has the tag on it.
Oh, okay.
And I'll just resell it online. And obviously it's so much cheaper than, you know, buying it in store. Like, you can get some really good deals on there.
That's a good practical solution. I like it.
Yeah. So that, like, a consignment shop, stuff like that. I mean, you just have to try and compromise, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend. And then once you're a little older and you're maybe in college, then get a job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my answer would be similar. And if anything, maybe even use some of the stuff we've discussed on this podcast as a way to tell your parents why brands mean something to you and why this dress is more important to you than the $10 one that they want you to wear.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you can also compromise and say, like, okay, I'll get this dress and I won't get anything else for, like, the rest of the month or whatever it is, you know.
The bargaining trick.
Yes, exactly.
Our next question is, how can I show my Desi parents that sometimes it's okay to not be stingy? So we kind of talked about this. Buy a particular brand or go on a vacation or spend money on quote-unquote unnecessary things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I think... So on one hand, I think you are kind of dealt, like, the hand that you're given.
Yeah.
Is that the saying? Did I even say that right?
Yeah, you dealt the hand that you have.
And you can't change your parents that much, especially when you're young.
Especially,
you know?
Yep.
So I think... Like, I've got to say, just for the record, like, my parents took us on plenty of vacations. Like, they were really good about that. I don't want to come on here and say, like, that my parents are, like, super stingy, because they weren't. Yeah. But I do think that, like, I was not able to change their way of thinking on things in general as much until more recently. Like, until I was older.
Mm. And why was that?
I don't know. Maybe they just, like, respected me more. It got to a point where, like, I knew more things than them about certain topics.
Okay.
So they would just trust me more. But I think you can't fully change their opinion or force them to spend their money a certain way, right? But you can try to compromise. I think you can also show them that, like, when they buy you something that's really nice, say it's, like, a wool jacket or something, maybe you just, like, take really good care of it, get a lot of use out of it, and show them that, like, that turns out to be a better value than buying a cheaper one, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, really take care of that thing and show them that this higher quality item actually is a better value.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? Do you have any suggestions?
The one suggestion I have, on top of everything you said, is once you're making your own money, one way to flip the script is to do what you want with your parents. So once you have money, mm-hmm. taking them to a fancy restaurant that they themselves would never go to and be like, oh, like, I know you guys probably don't like coming here, but, like, this is on me. Or, like, my sister all the time does this, where she'll just buy my dad a gift that she knows he thinks is excessively expensive, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but she'll just get it for him. And it's like, it's my money, I got it for you, I don't know if you're, like, using this or not, you might think it's overpriced, but just try it. And then my dad tries it, and he's like, whoa, this is really nice. Like, he got an Apple Watch because of my sister, and me, of course. And then he started using it, and he uses it, like, so much now, and he's like, okay,
that's
fine.
That's great.
Like, I get it, fine, this was, like, a good purchase, you know?
Yeah.
And so by flipping the script on them, like, they become more amenable to being like, oh, I get it, I get it.
Okay, so next question is, how do I deal with friends who don't understand my financial situation /, like, don't have the same finances as me?
Wait, can you clarify this question a bit? Not entirely. What does this mean?
So I guess, like, the friends have either, like, more money or they're just, like, less stingy. They're, like, willing to spend more on things.
So they have a larger flexibility, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, if they're young, then maybe their parents, like, give them more money or something. And
then
this
if is,
they're
like, the
older,
lunch money scenario where, like, all my friends would have lunch money every day and it would be, like, $5. And I would always get, like, $2.30, which is, like, the exact amount for lunch, you know? But this is clearly not the exact same situation, but it's a good metaphor. Continue.
Yeah, yeah. So I really feel for this situation. Like, on one hand, I want to say that, like, you should just explain that you can't afford to always do everything that you want to, and, like, if they're your true friend, they'll understand.
Of course.
But I feel like when kids are younger, though, like, maybe, like, younger than 16, kids can be pretty inconsiderate, you know? So it's, like, it's tough.
Absolutely.
It's really tough when you're young, I feel like. And I think, like, when you're older, this is still a thing, right? Like, people go on vacations together, people, like, go for brunch, go for dinner, like, people go out, spend a lot of money, and, like, if you can't afford to do that, I feel like, I mean, I would say, like, you should still try to spend time with your friends and hang out with them, I guess, like, when there's, like, lower cost activities. Like, maybe you can't afford to go on vacation with them, but you can still go
hang out.
Like, you can still hang out. You can still, like, go to the movies or just, like, hang out at home, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like such a bad solution.
I mean, I feel,
but it's like, you still have to spend time with your friends.
Yeah, I agree. But I feel like the other big takeaway from this is, like, I wouldn't resent any part of your parents or whatever it is. Because I feel like for me growing up, my birthday parties were always like on a lower scale because obviously we were still like establishing ourselves in America. Mm-hmm. So I'd always have like birthday parties in the park or birthday parties in my apartment. And then I'd mm-hmm. see my friends having like lavish rolling birthday parties and all of that. And I'd be like, damn, like I feel jelly. So I think one thing I would say to my younger self, if I could go back, is like, you know, all of these things are not because, like, your parents hate you or, like, your parents. It's just, like, a function of, like, the situation you're in. And, like, you just kind of have to take it for what it's worth. And, if, as you said, if they're, like, real friends, they'll understand.
Yeah. The alternate solution is make desi friends.
That is true. We talked about that. Sophia and I were saying how this question was tough to answer because we have desi friends.
Yeah, we both have
so a lot. So all of us, when we get together, we're like, so Chipotle, like, it's always a pretty financially responsible decision that we end up making.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I do think it's important to have friends who come from a similar, like, socioeconomic background, just, like, so you can understand and, like, relate to one another.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's got to be tough, like, if you're the only person in a school where everyone is, like, super wealthy and you're, like, the only one who's not. I think that's always a really tough situation.
Yeah, but there's a lot of opportunity for growth and learning, so...
It's true.
Next question, Sophia.
Next question. So how frugal do you think you are slash, like, do you plan to be once we actually graduate and get jobs?
So we're going to both be doctors. So I'd say, personally, I'm pretty frugal. I don't see the point of big expensive brands, as I kind of mentioned earlier, but I do get it. Like, you know, brands are associated with a certain amount of quality and certain public image. So in that regard, I personally am still a pretty big minimalist. Like, I don't usually get things that I don't need, and I, for the most part, think 3 or 4 times before making a big purchase. Anything above, like, $100, $200, I'm like, all right, is this really a good use of my time and money? If so, why? But the thing that's different is because I have been through this reflective exercise, this podcast now, and I've also been able to talk to my parents pretty openly about this, I have become a lot less, like, stingy with my own money when it comes to my own family. Like, I understand that me personally, maybe I may not want the AirPods, but hey, if my sister wants the AirPods or if, like, my future son wants an AirPod, I would more than happily get it for him.
One. He wants one AirPod.
Yeah, he wants only one. That's the way I will discipline him. He'll get the second one after his 10th birthday.
Or, like, if he gets all A's on his report card.
Or all A's, then, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think, yeah, so personally, still pretty minimalist, but I think for me, just growing up in the culture that it did, I think I would be a bit more flexible with pouring money in for the people I care about, especially considering hopefully I'll have a lot more of it than my parents did when they first came to the country. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I think of, like, future finances and stuff, I would probably be someone who would, like, try and find a really good deal on the big things, like a house, apartment, car, like, stuff like that. Just, like, really try and, like, not just find, I'm not going to just buy, like, the first apartment that I find, you know? Like, I'm going to make sure I get the best value. And I think for the smaller things, I'll be more reasonable. Like, I'm not someone who, like, buys coffee out every day and stuff because I try to avoid, like, silly expenses like that. But, like, I eat out. I don't think too hard about spending money on, like, little things that make me happy.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. So I think that about wraps up our show, right, Sophia?
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast, give us a nice rating and review, and also follow us on Instagram at redwhitebrownpod.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week.